Every one of you in this place, God has brought you here because you know what? You're a live action hero. And some of you don't even know what kind of powers you have. You don't know what God put in you. You don't even know that it's time to come out and put the super suit on and go to work. But God has a plan for every one of us. And I want to show you through the lesson that we're going to teach today and over this series that you are meant to be a live action hero. I've never met a hero who didn't do something or had action in his life, and this is what it takes. If you're going to be a hero, you must commit to an action that will bring life to somebody else. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, one thing I realized we talked about last week, that when we talk about live action hero, we learned that there was a Clark Kent in the world, and Clark Kent was a superhero, but he always had his outfit on, and he always one of the things unlike other heroes is that he never took his Superman uniform off. All the other heroes had to put theirs on, but you know what he did? He wore it all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. No matter where you go, you can't put off your superhero costume. Somebody say amen. That means God is going to expect when something's in trouble that you all you had to do is pull open your shirt and fly away and help somebody. Now, what does that mean in practical terms for you and I? It means that there are going to come times in your life where someone needs a hero. Someone needs someone to stand up for them. Someone needs somebody to fight for them. Someone needs someone to stand in the gap. And I believe that that's going to be somebody just like you. And I believe that God has given you the power to make the difference. Now, I believe this. We all have a mission. We all are called to be heroes. So I want you to turn first in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. And as we're getting ready for that, I want to honor. We've got a missionary from India, I heard. Welcome. I'm glad to have you. Welcome from India. And honor to have you, sir, in the work that you do. Amen. Is that your family, your sons? Wonderful. Honored to have you guys here. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. 1 John 5 and 2 says this. Let's all read together, shall we? Let's read. We know. Uh-huh. Hold on. If we love God and read his commandments, right? No. We love God and we look him over, right? We do a devotional on his commandments. No. The only way we can actually know that we are live action heroes is if we obey his commandments. It's more than just wishful thinking. It is blessings in doing what God asks you to do. Let's read on in verse 3. Let's read. Go.
Loving God means keeping his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And his commandments are not burdens.
How many love the Lord in here? How many just love the Lord in here? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible's very clear. It says, if you really love him, you will keep his commandments. Now, you know, here's a challenge, guys. You know, many times we're wondering, God, you know, but I fall so much. I know that. We all make mistakes. But a person who really loves God is striving to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy to do. They're not hard work. They're actually easy. But many times we're like, well, I don't want to really get into that because it'll take a lot of my time. No, it won't. It will make your time fruitful. I want you to go to verse 4, please. Let's read verse 4. Go. Did you hear that? That every child of God has to combat evil in some manner. Every child of God has to defeat the evil that is in this world, and we overcome it through Christ. That's how we are heroes, because we have something on the inside of us. When you become a believer in Christ, he puts all of his power deep down on the inside of your life so that you can overcome evil. Many times we're facing trials and we're like, man, I don't have the heart. I don't know how to get over this. But God gives you a Holy Spirit that when the Spirit is inside of you, he can break the chains off your feet, chains off your hands, chains off your head, so you can serve him with your whole heart. You know how many people that were addicted to cigarettes and they prayed and said, God, I need to be free. I don't want cigarettes again. How many of you in this room have been broken from cigarettes by asking? Come on, look around. Look around this room. This is what God does all the time. He will put a taste in your mouth where it tastes so bad you don't want to smoke anything. You don't want anything smoked but a turkey. Somebody say amen. God gave us all superpowers upon coming to Christ. We talked last week, just as a recap, we talked that there were 9 powers that God gave to every individual, every believer. Everyone has access to that. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 8. This is what God has given to every believer. But the reason many of us have not experienced it is that we're not in action. In order for the power to come out, you've got to be in the middle of doing some type of action. Watch this. Let's read verse 8. Read. To one, the Spirit gives. Yes. To another. Yes. The next verse says, the same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. What? The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Verse 10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues or languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11, read. He alone. So watch this. Which one do you have? See, here's the idea that people have. Well, I have one gift. I have this gift or that gift. No. You have the Holy Spirit. So, and he has all of them. So if you have the Holy Spirit, he will give them and manifest them severally as he wills. When you are in the middle of some form of action. Many people want to experience the power of God, but they're not actually in a situation where someone is in need. I want to push you off of your seat, push you out of this chair and say, listen, if you see somebody sick, pray for them. You want healing? Find somebody that's sick. Somebody say amen. Amen. You want to have the word of knowledge? Well, go to somebody who's totally confused and ask God, how can I help them? And let God speak to your mind. These are the ways that we become live action heroes. So why does God give us this stuff? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And let's read it nice and loud. Everybody, go. A spiritual gift. Wow. The reason God gives us everything we have is so that we could help somebody here. I want you to look around just for a second. That person you're looking at has a need that only you can provide. When was the last time you gave them something from God? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be here for each other. And if you don't know what kind of superhero you are, it's time you learn. Somebody say amen. Amen. After we finish the series, I'm going to give you the clues. I'm going to give you the tools that's going to allow you to activate that power in your life. But it's very practical. You know, here's one thing I learned. The only way people know who we really are is not by what we say, but what we do. We must be live action heroes, even if we are not popular for our stance. For instance, in the comics, you know, this is my character. This is Spider-Man. Anybody ever watched Spider-Man before? Anybody? Let me see your hands if you like Spider-Man. Who likes Spider-Man up here? See, I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man had an arch enemy, and it wasn't a superhero. It was a guy by the name of J. Jonah Jameson. J. Jonah Jameson was a newspaper editor, and he hated Spider-Man. No matter how much good he ever did, he always had something negative to say. Have you ever had a friend like that or met somebody like that? No matter what you do, they always got something negative to say? Amen. Doesn't that sound like the enemy? Whatever we do for God, he tries to twist it and make it sound bad. Well, Spider-Man had a guy in his life like that. And sometimes you've got to make a stand even when it's not popular. Let me give you an example. I was talking about some police brutality that occurred over some young men, and it was a terrible situation. And I had somebody come and wrote this letter to me because I talked about it. And here's what they said to me. They said, "Wow, really? This from a pastor of a multicultural church? All I can do is shake my head. Really? We are all black, white, and yellow, red, and whatever mix of color you are. We already have enough problems, and we should be uniting, not separating. This type of thing is underlined with nothing but hate and separation. Yes, it might be the truth, but why incite such thoughts? Why not preach the love of Jesus instead? I don't get it. Spreading hate and discord does not change anything and only makes it worse. As a pastor, I would think one wouldn't do such things." That's what they wrote me because I stood up to address an evil that was done in our society. Here's what I wrote back. "It is disgraceful and hurtful to all humanity. But remember, guys, this is not a commentary on good men, but the evil in some. And I said this, join me as I stand with Christ to resist evil and inequity wherever it is found, among whomever it is found. May we all be bold enough to do that. If you don't believe me in that, maybe it's time for us to check our beliefs." And then I wrote, "Unashamed and still pastor of a multicultural church." Booyah. Listen, people will say, "Hey, why are you talking about things that are wrong? Just don't say anything. You're just making it worse." No, you've got to stand up for what is right when there is something wrong happening. I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, Mexican, or a color I've never seen in my life. You better stand up for what is right. You've got to do that. Listen, Spider-Man was a guy who had great powers, and his uncle said these words to him, "With great power comes great responsibility." Look at your neighbor and say, "You're responsible for me." That's right. You're responsible for each other. You know, I went to a minister's meeting here in town, and it was a minister's meeting with all African-American pastors. And I went in the meeting, and they were looking to change our city. And while I sat at the meeting, I looked around and I realized there was no other races at the table. And so I stood up and I said, "Listen, if we're ever going to change anything in this city, it can't just be black people in their corner and white people in their corner and Asians in their corner and Spanish in their corner, because the Bible says we were all made from one blood." Come on, somebody. We all got one great, 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 great grandfather. His name is Adam. We all came from the same place. And I remember those ministers around the table looked at me and said, "Stephen, the white people will never have a seat at this table." And I remember looking at them and saying these words, "If I was in a meeting with all white ministers and I heard them say that, I would call that racist." And I said, "Sir, that is racism." And I had to stand up and walk out. I will not stand for racism on any side of the aisle. If I'm going to be a live-action hero, I've got to make a stand somewhere in life. We always say this and repeat this after me. If you don't stand for something, say it again. If you don't stand for something, you're already. That's why God called us to be a live-action hero. Action means to perform or to express something, to do something, to be somebody that will make a difference in your community. So then, if you want all of this power from God and the power to change things, how do you initiate the power of God in your life, the boldness of God in your life? How do you do that? Well, we're about to show you how to do that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is where we're going to learn to put it all together, guys, because God isn't looking to just give you power. That's a byproduct. of what I'm about to tell you. You will get it if you do these things. Luke 6 is called the chapter of the Beatitudes. It means the attitudes you ought to be, right? Everything you will need to achieve all God wants in your life can be found in these verses. You know, Jesus is known as a teacher, and this is the one place in the Bible, Luke 6. Again, in Matthew 5, they repeat these same lessons, but this is the one place where he actually gives you his teachings on life. This is it. Guys, if you can capture these things, it will make all the difference in the world. He in Luke 6 tells you about his righteousness. He begins to teach you about the formula to the key for everything else. Here's what he says in Matthew 6:33. I'll read it to you. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things, my rent, my health, my job, my opportunities, my purpose, everything I want will be what? Added unto you." But the first thing to activate this is we must seek God's righteousness. Meaning we are living the way he would have us to live. And many times we don't know what that looks like. Power comes from living God's way. Let me tell you my story. First, let me ask you a question. Anybody in your walk with Christianity ever felt like, you know, it's you're going through the motions sometimes? Anybody ever felt like that? Anyway, can you raise your hand and just so we know you're not alone? Look at that. Look at everybody. Okay. Have you ever felt like, you know, I hear the stories in the Bible, but I never see that in my life? Anybody ever said that or thought that before? And you wonder, okay, well, is this really real? Because I haven't seen it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me in my testimony. What I'm about to tell you is this. This is what changed my walk in God to a whole nother level. This, I'm about to show you, changed me from an average Clark Kent to a Superman. This changed me from Peter Parker to Spider-Man. This I'm about to show you was a defining moment in my life where I realized when I put these things to work that power began to erupt out of my life. Now, if you're serious, stay tuned. Let me tell you how it happened. I was going home back home to Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was riding the bus, Greyhound. Anybody been on a Greyhound before? Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And I was on my way to Cincinnati, Ohio, a 12-hour trip on the Greyhound. And I sat next to every kind of person on the planet. But while I was there, I decided, you know, since I've got so much time, I'm going to read the Bible. And for the first time, I opened up Luke chapter 6. And when I looked at it, I realized that there were things he told me to do that I wasn't doing. I was going to church. I was singing in the choir. I was giving of my finances. I was trying to be a nice guy. But I didn't do what he wanted me to do. I was doing what I wanted to do. And so I began to memorize Luke chapter 6 word for word and began to apply it everywhere in my life. And for the first time, the power I began to have flowing in my life, I began to hear the voice of God. I began to lay hands on the sick and they began to recover. I began to dream dreams that I shouldn't even dream. I began to have miracles happen around me. I began to speak in other languages, all because for the first time in my Christian walk, after 4 years of being a born-again believer, I actually applied what he said. Can you believe it's that easy? The moment I start walking in his righteousness, he gives me power like a live-action hero. I want to go to the verse and let's look at what happens and what Jesus did. Would you turn to Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 17? Luke chapter 6, verse 17. This is where power came into my life. And here's how it begins. It says, when they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood on a large level area, surrounded by his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, there were people that were Jews and Gentiles mixed together here to hear the gospel of Jesus. And he comes down in a very plain area, an open field, and they gather around. And look what they do. They come to hear him. And what else? To be healed of their diseases. Now I need you to pay attention to this. Jesus comes down with his disciples. They're all hanging out. They go down to Leesburg, down to the city hall. They're just all sitting out there. And then people show up all around us. And then all of a sudden they're coming because they want to hear what I have to say and they want to be healed of their diseases. Watch this. And those troubled by evil spirits were what? Healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him. And I love this, what it says. Oh, go to the next verse, please. I'm down already, down to 19. Please follow me. 19. Everyone tried to what? Touch him because what? And he what? Some of them? He healed everyone. Now I need you to see this because this is where it becomes live. Live action. Power is erupting out of him. He's trying to turn to the left and bam, someone gets healed because he brushes them with his shoulder. He turns to the right. Bam, somebody else gets healed. There's a demon growling. He goes, oh, just hush. And a demon comes out and he turns the other way and everybody around him, eyes are opening up. Legs are being healed all around him. Flowing evidence. All around him, his disciples are watching what is happening. And I want to ask you, what do you think they were thinking as a man with one leg as it grows out and he walks away? What do you think they were thinking seeing these miracles? Put yourself on the field. Jesus is healing everybody. How bad? Leprosy. Legs missing, eyes blinded, ears deaf. He's healing everybody. What would you think watching that exchange? Think about it for a second. What would be your question? I thought about this, and I believe they would be like many of us who would ask in their hearts, how can I do this? I want to be a part of this. How can I be a blessing like this? And likewise, when they saw the power, but I think they almost lost the point. It's about what Jesus stood for and believed in that allowed him to wield the power. They were asking, how do I get it? And I need you to understand, you've got to believe and do what Jesus believed in to have the same kind of results. I need you to know that God has called you to stand up and be willing to fight evil in all of its form, whether it's a sickness or politics or any other form, and be unafraid. I want you to take a look at what his disciples said and look what Jesus did. Go down to verse 20. I love this. Knowing this, Jesus turned to them and gave them 10 attitudes they must act upon in order to have the power to be a blessing to others. Let's look at this. Let's read this together. Go. Watch this. He didn't turn to the crowd. The question was from the disciples, how can I be a blessing like this? How can I have this kind of miracles working in my life? And Jesus doesn't look at the crowd. He turns to his disciples and says, you want to know how you can be blessed like this? You want to know how to operate like this? Look what he says. He says, God will bless you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Wow. What in the world does that mean? What do you mean, poor? Well, here's a question. Why is it in third world nations there's more fervency for God than in those in the West? Why? Why is it that they're hungry for gifts and signs and wonders happen all the time more than it happens in the United States? Watch this. You know why? When we're hungry, we got a McDonald's on every corner. Hello, somebody. You got a Popeye's chicken. Somebody say amen. Amen. That was a blessing from God. I'm telling you right now. We got Golden Corral. What's your favorite out there? Let me hear you. Cracker Barrel. What is it? Olive Garden. No, that's some nasty stuff. Oh, no, I'm just playing. When we're hungry, we can turn anywhere we want to go, and we can get something to eat. It's easy. There's no effort. We know, hey, I got money. I can go here. I can go here. But the people in those other countries, they can't turn and find a restaurant in the middle of a field. They've got to believe God in order to eat. Hold on. I'm going to show you something. Think about it. You know, today we have so many choices in water. Come on, somebody. I remember when I was a young kid, I said, man, it's going to be a bad day, the day we charge for air and water. Do we get charged for air? Do we get charged for water? Oh, my goodness. Listen, you got Aquafina. You got Arctic Springs from California. You got Alaska Glacier water from Alaska. You got Fiji water from Fiji. You got Perrier from France. Do you know there's a thing called bling water? It costs $2,600. It has 10,000 crystals in it. Bling water. But that ain't the worst. The worst is Acqua de Cristallo Tributo a de Mogherlano. I butchered it, but it sounds good to me. $3,600 for a bottle of water. How many know it's just water? Somebody say amen. $3,600, no. We all have such easy things to grasp. But how can we have the heart of the poor when we don't have their poverty? How do we have the heart that they have when we don't have their poverty? How many believe, I think you need to understand what this means. How many think that Jesus was poor? Raise your hand. How many think that Jesus was poor? How many think Jesus was not poor? How many are scared to raise their hand? It looks like a whole lot of you. Amen. Let's try this again. This is hobbit hands, human hands. Hobbit, human. Okay, let's try this again. How many believe that Jesus was poor? Put it up nice and high. Okay, good. Okay. Put your hand down. How many believe that Jesus was not poor? Put your hands up. Okay. How many have no clue one way or another? Okay, put your hands down. Let me show you something. Number one, if Jesus is our example and he says, blessed are the poor, and I want what he has, does that mean that Jesus has to be poor to show me how to get it? Well, let me point out a couple things. Number one, Judas carried the money bag. He had a bag of money. I don't have friends that walk around with a bag of my money. Watch this. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 3. Watch this. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others were contributing from their own what? Resources to support what? Jesus. He had rich, wealthy women. in ministry, helping him. That was so weak. That was like, watch this. Go to Matthew 27, 57 and 58. He not only had wealth, a money bag, but he had influence. He had people around him that was important. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate issued an order to release him. He was well connected. Jesus was not poor, but he had an attitude that we need to all adopt in order to be rich. It's the attitude of the poor. You know, have you ever seen somebody begging on the side of the road? You know, what is their demeanor? You know, number one, they don't mind coming to you because they believe you got what they need. They will knock on your window. They will talk to you. They will come, hey, excuse me. Can I talk to you for a second? Because they know that somebody in this room has what they need. Amen, somebody. Right? Every day, they don't have a job, but every day they believe that by going and asking for their provision, someone will provide for them what? Daily. They have that faith. They will boldly ask for what they need without pride or even caring what they look like. Let me tell you what James said. Go to James chapter 2 and 5. James 2 and 5. James 2 and 5. Would you read it with me, please? Go. Do you see that? He said, I chose the poor. Why? Because they're rich in rich in faith. Listen to me. Step one. To get the power of God activated in your life, you must be rich in faith. Matthew describes it this way: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What if you took on the attitude of a person who was unashamed to ask God for what you need? A person who woke up daily knowing God is going to provide all that you need. What if you didn't bother worrying what you look like when you ask God for what you need? That is a person who is poor in spirit. God says if you walk like that, you will be blessed. You want the miracles? Act like he got what you need. Start talking like it's what you need. I love what it says. See, this is why Paul says, why they said it's hard for those with great wealth, because they tend to rely on their own riches. They tend to say, I don't need to ask anybody because I got what I need. I don't need to beg anything from anybody, let alone God. That's why it's hard for the rich to enter in, because they care so much that of their own money, they don't think they need God. But there's something we can learn from someone in that condition. Provision only comes to those who truly believe he will provide. Go to Hebrews 11 and 6. We've got to have to close down. Man, I'm just getting started on this. We'll have to pick up the rest next week. But Hebrews 11 and 6, I need you to see this. This is this attitude, this attitude that you have to have in order for it to be a live action hero and to see the miracles, signs, and wonders. Guys, it's not just about coming to church. It's not about snoozing with the leadership. It's not about, you know, being a good person. None of that matters. Look what it says here. It says this, and it is impossible to please God without what? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that what? God. If you are still questioning whether God is on your side, you might be in trouble. If you don't know that he will do it, you're in trouble. You've got to make up in your mind, I know you got what I need. I'm coming to you because nobody can provide me like you can provide for me. God, I don't care what I'm looking at. God, I know I woke up this morning, I'm hungry, and I don't know how to pay my bill, but I know a God who has a cattle on a thousand hills. I come, number one, because I believe you exist. Watch this. And he rewards those who lackadaisically seek him. You can tell if somebody wants something from God. You ever seen somebody that's really hungry for something from God? They don't care who looking, they'll cry out, they'll cut a fool, they'll step on your nice shoes, they'll slap you when they raise their hands. You're like, okay, all right, God give it to her. You know what I mean? Because they just know, God, I need it. Listen to me, guys. The first thing that in order for any of us to walk in the power of God, we've got to be blessed. And the only way we can be blessed is by being poor in spirit. That means we're hungry. We're willing to cry out to God. We're willing to go to him as the first source. We're going to him because nobody else can give us what God can give us. And that means you got to come with faith. You got to be rich in faith. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you can give up when he don't answer your first prayer, you really didn't want it. You got to get to the point where nothing will stop you until you get what you want. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want a miracle from God? Don't give up when you don't get it the first time. Go back. Go back. You want an answer? Don't give up because you asked 30 times. He may be waiting for 31. Go back. Come on, somebody. If you want to be rich, you want to have the superhero power of a believer, you got to have faith that's rich and knowing that God can give you what you ask for if you are serious. I run into people all the time who say, Pastor Steve, it's never happened to me, and I don't believe God will ever do it. And I say, I believe you're correct. The moment you said that, it was over. But I meet people who say, Pastor Steve, I haven't experienced, but I believe God's going to give it to me. And I see people get blessed like I don't know what. Where are you today? Where are you today? Guys, we're not walking a journey just to have fun. I want you to experience God. And this was the first step. You've got to be hungry, and you have to be poor in spirit. You can't tell God, I got everything already. If you don't need him, then you don't need him. Today, I want you to be wide open and say, God, you're all I need. Would you stand on your feet, please? Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the middle of a series, Live Action Hero, and the tools to become a live action hero is by being obedient and doing the action